Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
Monday's sell-off was the biggest we've seen in quite a long time. Is that it? Or is there still more to come? Good morning. This is Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander. The Sandman. We have a lot to talk about today. Have you seen some of these recent headlines this past week? From the Economic Times, reasons for a stock market crash. From CNBC, Dow tumbles 700 points, worst drop since October. Is that it? These headlines should raise a big red flag for anyone who's invested in the stock market right now, especially if you're retired or getting close to it. But even if you didn't watch TV, even if you didn't listen to the radio, or read the newspaper this past week, what do you think is going to happen with the stock market? Is the bull market over? Well, you know what they say, all good things must come to an end. And unfortunately, it looks like the coronavirus, well, it's just not over. In fact, this Delta is the latest morph, I guess, into a new variant. And it spooked the markets pretty good last week as the numbers started to climb. And we keep seeing that every night in the news. I'm sure you're seeing that too. And so for those who are vaccinated, I guess we're going to be okay. But for those who aren't, it's not looking so good. So just like your portfolio, one of the best ways to protect yourself is by taking action. And you can do something right now about it. So today we're going to talk about what you can do. Will you be able to retire the way you always dreamed of? And could a quick market crash, like we saw on Monday, how fast things move, could that completely wipe out your plans and make it impossible for you to live the future you've always dreamed of? Well, these are all seriously good questions. And the good news for you today is, well, the market did come back this week a little bit. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I have five ideas that you need to review right now while the market is still at the levels it is to make sure your financial future is in good shape. So the next time this comes, and I'm going to say that it will come, what will you do to make sure that you're on the right track? You can't afford to miss this show if you own stocks. So stick around. Now let's get started. Well, Monday, as I said, was a big down day, Dow off over 700 points. But for the week, managed to squeak out of the gain again, Dow up 1.1%, S&P up 2%, NASDAQ up 2.8%. 10-year Treasury still dropping 1.28%, and oil, $72 a barrel. So what caused the stock market to drop so big time on Monday? Well, here we go. The headline reason, which I'm sure you heard about, goes all over the news, was the Delta variant that all of a sudden had the market spooked that there was going to be an economic shutdown and that this recovery was possibly going to be reduced. And while it didn't cause a huge sell-off over the next few days, the drop in the S&P 500, it was a combination of this. It wasn't just Delta. So it was a Delta for sure, but then also stretched equity values. You got to think about this. Stocks right now are priced for perfection, as if nothing wrong is going to happen. And Monday was a test of that, that just may not be true. The third factor was what we call summer doldrums around the sparsely populated trading desk. Let's face it, all the traders are on vacationing at the beach, wherever they happen to be. And also, we've seen continued influence of momentum funds and CTAs have an effect on the market. So all those factors, there are four, caused the market to drop so quickly on Monday. Now, the broad market, if you look at it, if you look at most of the major stock indexes as of late, they're losing momentum. And we've seen that happen for a few weeks. Just the pent-up demand, the pressure that forces markets to go higher is lagging a little bit. It just feels like it's not the way it was. It just feels like it's not quite all there. So you got to ask the question, because a lot of people have been asking me, well, what's next? Is the sell-off over or is it just starting? Well, here's what we need to see. First, we have to see these delta numbers start to level off and taper away. We're not seeing that right now. So the next few weeks are going to be really important around that. Second, we need to see signs that the economic growth overall, that it's not rolling over. It's not over. And what Monday tells you is that this market is vulnerable to a bigger pullback if there's a new negative introduced. And so, as you remember, we talk about these four pillars that have held up this market, have driven it higher. When one of those starts to crack in a meaningful way, the market's going to react, period. I mean, I've been saying this over and over and over again. And so you saw one of the pillars crack with the Delta variant. And that's what happened. So I see right now any correction, any pullback, which we saw on Monday, as an opportunity potentially to do something about it. And so I've identified an area right now today that I'm going to share with you, which I think is an opportunity here. What is it? Small caps. I think small caps just bottomed. Now, it's hard to predict a bottom, of course. I'm not going to say that I know when that is, but I want you to consider the following. Cyclicals. They've been lagging the technology sector and growth for the last couple months. But no part of the cyclicals have performed worse than small caps. And I'm looking specifically at the Russell 2000, which went from the best performing major index in mid-June to the worst performing index by mid-July. And the reason for the small cap weakness was this. First, investors were concerned about the sooner than expected rate hikes, which the Fed started talking about. And why they are concerned about that is because think about it. If you're a small business owner out there borrowing money to keep your business going, what does that mean? You're going to pay more for money. That's what it means. And so that's bad for small companies. And that was the first reason. The second reason was the strength. And we're going to keep talking about this. The strength of the recovery. People think it's peaked. They think it's over. Some people think this. And as such, this causes, again, another problem for small caps. So these are the concerns right now. They're legitimate. I'm not discounting them. But like most of the underperformance we saw in the cyclicals, you're seeing it much more intensely in the small caps. And so if U.S. GDP continues to go around 3%, we think this year we're going to probably see kind of a 7 on average across the board, then that's going to benefit small caps. That's just the reality. So this uncertainty, I think, is an opportunity for you, if you don't have any exposure to this area, to start to tip your toe into it a little bit. Because I think the sell-off in small caps is a little overdone. And the reason I say that is because if you look at Monday was a pretty big day on the Dow and the S&P on the downside. And those are large cap stocks. And on Monday, the Russell 2000 fell, but it was much less than the other large cap indexes. And that's contrarian. Then on both Tuesday and Wednesday this past week, guess what? Small caps outperformed. In fact, over the last 5 days, the Russell 2000 is now up 1.27%, while the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ are modestly up. So it's too early to call a bottom in small caps, but I think if the reflation theory holds and the Fed keeps the rise in yields manageable, which is the big question right now, then I think small caps can start to outperform like we saw in mid-June, and it could be a good year for them overall. But like everything, you got to tread lightly around this stuff, okay? Be careful. Now, are there tactical opportunities you could be looking at in addition to small cap right now when you see these pullbacks? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they're not over. What this is telling us is that you're going to see more of this type of momentum. So first of all, if you're concerned about that, it's causing you some worry about your portfolio and how you're going to live off that if things drop so precipitously. This show today is going to be dedicated to that. We're going to get into that. But in the meantime, if you're just looking at reallocating stocks, take a look at some of these areas right now. Travel and leisure, airlines, cruise lines, hotels, travel booking sites, theme parks, movie theaters, car rental, mall REITs. All right, take a look at some of that. Next week, we're going to see the pending home sale. So all those real estate prices that keep climbing, that'll be a good index for us to take a look at. A lot of people right now are calling us. They have a lot of equity in their homes. They're thinking about moving to other states. Tired of paying all this tax, tired of Proposition 19. They want to do something about it. All right, when I come back, what can you do right now to make sure that when Monday happens again, which it will, you're protected and what you can do right now? You're listening to Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. I am the Sandman. We'll be right back.
But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. When I
say I'm spinning round, round, round. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And I'll bet you were a little concerned on Monday when the Dow dropped over 700 points, just like that. And the question is, can it happen again? And is just this the beginning of something more ominous? Because after all, something like that can rally a little bit. It moves so quickly, there's nothing you can do about it. So today we're going to talk about some things you can do to protect yourself from really ruining all your plans. I mean, we see this happen a lot. A lot of people get concentrated in a stock position. Something bad happens. All of a sudden you see your net worth drop substantially. It changes your plans. It changes your outlook, particularly if you're not prepared. So this morning we're going to talk about five areas that can prepare you for things like Monday, so when they come, they just don't matter. It just doesn't matter. And so the first thing that we want to talk about is that really nobody can predict what the markets are going to do from day to day. And if you think about it, Monday's a great example of that, because the move that we saw was so fast and furious and was so big, and it did have an effect on most portfolios that were invested in broader indexes across the board, which gets you to realize that these things can change your plans. So what we can do, though, is we can use this experience to focus on what I'll call proper placement when it comes to you specifically and what you're trying to do with your money and your retirement. So what are some basics you need to be aware of? Well, first of all, what's a correction? What's a meaningful correction? And how is that different than what we just experienced? So the first thing you need to understand is about a correction. When they talk about a market correction, that is really a 10% drop. And that can be over a period of a few days. It can happen a lot in one day, as we saw on Monday, and as we saw a year ago, as you remember last year, was pretty difficult. And we see these declines of at least 10% of a stock, bond, or any other type of index, usually when it's from the high point. And right now, as you know, this past week was super fascinating because we hit high points once again, just like Humpty Dumpty. When's it going to fall off the wall, right? We're just all kind of waiting for it. So right now, as we sit here, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, these are all at historic highs right now. And you just have to wonder, you know, what news is going to come that's going to really drive this that much higher? It just, if you feel like the momentum is somewhat fading, you're right. And so the question is, if, when, and how much? So think about it in terms of numbers and statistics. Right now, there have been 124 market corrections, all right, so over 10% from 1900 through last year, 2020, because as you remember, in March, we saw a not only correction, but we also saw a bear market technically because it went through the 20% downward spiral. So if you think about it, if you do the math on that, that's one correction per year on average. And guess what? Since last October, we haven't seen that. It just hasn't come. So what does that mean? Well, if you look at the averages, it means that we're due. And if you think about Monday, you saw how fast that could happen. Just imagine putting another one like that together or a couple days together like that, and you're there. And how will that change your plans if you're going to think about retiring in September this year? All right. So what caused it and why did it occur? Well, if you missed my market segment, I tried to explain that to you. And you can always go listen to my podcast at PYA Radio. We'll post it tonight. And it's a quick 5-minute market summary, which I go through the reasons for why it happened. So I don't have time to do it right now, but I can tell you that the pillars are starting to fracture. There's four of them. And the Delta variant fractured one of the pillars. And so you saw the result of that. And the market is a living, breathing thing that reacts to information. And when we see things like that occur, it reacts. And it will come again. Just a matter of if, when, and how, and why. But we're always going to be looking at it from behind the result, because it's impossible to see where things are going to come from and when they're going to come. So think about this. The average bear market decline in the S&P since 1929 was this number. Think about this, 39.9%. So when you think about your portfolio, if you saw a hit of, say, 40%, what would that do to your retirement? And I bring this up because this past week we sat down with a couple who, if you can believe this, he had 100% of his IRA in one stock. And he's done really well with that one stock. And he thinks it can go higher. Of course, we all want it to go higher. We all want to make more money. But at what point do you say, that's enough? Or it makes sense to take some off the table right now and do something about it so I don't get wiped out. Do you know what the worst bear market was in U.S. history? Well, that'd be the bear market from September of 1929 to June of 1932. And get this, that resulted in an 86.2% loss. 86 point, I mean, imagine if that 86% drop occurred in the next few years and it happened to you. Like, what would that do to your, think about that. What would it do to your retirement? They say that markets always come back, right? Well, it does, but the question is, how long will it take? You know, if you were in that 1929 pullback, you had to wait until 1954 just to get back to even. That's 25 years. You're going to be dead by then. And that's exactly why people nearing, or if you're in retirement, God forbid, like this fellow we met last week, you need to be more preservation-minded. I'm sorry. It's just the message this morning. You've got to start thinking about this stuff. Because let's face it, you're going to need income from that portfolio. The government's not going to take care of your retirement, particularly if you live in the Bay Area. Are you kidding? Your Social Security is going to barely cover your cost of living. What about all the other things you want to do? Well, if this coronavirus is now part of our life, it's not over. I love it. You know, take the masks off. It's June 15th. Everything's open again. And guess what? People start congregating. You know, you just see what? No, what pandemic? It's over. Nope. LA lockdown. You know, I mean, come on. It's not over. So these things we're going to have to live with now. So you got to be smart about that. And these things do have impacts on the stock market, as you saw Monday. So the first place you need to start right now is to understand, I'm serious about this, you need to understand the risk that is in your portfolio right now. And you may say, well, how do I know that? Because I have a guy or a gal and they're doing fine by me. I know everything's good. I see the performance and they say everything's fine. Well, do you really know? Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say, I just heard it this week, you should have all of your investment account in your company's stock. Is that really a good idea? Remember, okay, it may be. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Protect Your Assets with the Sandman. That's me. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And we all know it. The stock market has been on a tear. And many have been wondering when things were going to start falling apart. Well, Monday, the market did just that. And now people are wondering, are we headed into a correction? Well, we have some really cool new technology where you can talk to me and hear a new message. If you use Google, use your Google smart speaker, say, hey, Google, talk to Protect Your Assets and find out my secret message by doing that. So do that now. Hey, Google, talk to Protect Your Assets. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that you should have all of your retirement in your company's stock. Well, do you remember back just a year ago, March of 2020? It seemed like there was absolutely no place to hide, and account balances moved down quickly over a very short period of time. And it's really hard for anybody to ignore that when all of your account balances are down, no matter what you've tried to do. And employing that strategy, you may remember back to that time, hang in there mentality when you're close to retirement or you're living off your nest egg is tough, especially when you see all that hard-earned money get decimated. So this past week, Karen and Tom asked the following question. Do I have too much money in a single stock in my retirement account? I was told it's a pretty good idea. Tom lives in Kensington with his wife, Karen. And he's retiring soon. And he said he has about 2 years of cash in the bank. But he wants to know if he should invest the rest of that money in his company stock right now, since it's down over 26% over the last 6 months. And they say he should do it. Well, Tom, I don't like the idea. That's probably why you're asking me. One stock, particularly that stock, subjects you to all the positives and, of course, all the negatives that can happen to that company on any particular day. Look at last week. There were many companies on Monday, high-quality companies with really strong balance sheets, doing everything right, number one in their business space, that got lumped into the free fall of the market, and there was nothing you could do about it. In fact, it was pretty severe in some cases. So I think it's better to have a basket, if you will, of different types of stocks and bonds, because bonds typically do fairly well in this environment, but you have to know what type of bonds, because rates, by the way, I think are going to rise. I'm going to tell you, I think the 10-year treasury will be at 160 by the end of this year. Look where it is now. It's a pretty big move. It's a 30% move. And what happens when bonds go up in yield? Well, for every 1% of a rise in interest rates, the value of your bond gets whacked 10%. Yep. So if you want to smooth out the ride a little bit because you're living off of that money, then you need to have income that will sustain you through a longer market correction. Because what if your 2 years of cash isn't enough? What if the volatility and the market doesn't come back for a while? You heard me talk about it earlier at the top of this segment. We were talking about how long it took for those who were in the 1929 crash to get back to even. It was 25 years. And you may not have 25 years. And you may feel that this market, when it comes down, might take a real long time to come back. And you know what? You may be right, because no one knows. And if you have it all in one stock, are you starting to follow me? Yep, you can decide that you could sell shares, but your lifestyle may dictate how you liquidate those shares, particularly if the stock is way down and now you have to sell a lot of it. So what will the price of that stock be when you need the money to live on? You don't know that. And if you could hold off not having to sell that when it's down 40%, and this one could be down as much as 70% according to our MRI portfolio analysis, then you got to think about that. Because when you have 100% of your assets in one stock, these things can happen severely. So how about this? How about having 100% of your assets in a mutual fund mix? Quote, asset allocation. Well, this is a common mistake that you might experience, is when you invest your retirement savings in an asset allocation or something. Sometimes I call them a pie. This is where you take all of your money and you buy a mixture of mutual funds, ETFs, etc. You spread those dollars around to a bunch of different asset classes. I was talking about small cap at the top of the segment. The problem is, this idea of diversification is good, can help you mitigate risk. But if last year taught us anything, if you think also back to 2008, a diversified asset allocation is not going to help you avoid taking a nosedive. So don't confuse the word with diversification as equal to safe, because that's a problem. And in 2008, some of those strategies were down 20%. So I'm going to encourage you to decrease your equity exposure right now and move into some short-term or principally protected alternatives that are out there right now. And you say, well, I don't know what those are. There's so much to stay on top of financially. So ask yourself the question, is your portfolio really designed for you, for what you're trying to do right now? The truth is, probably not. Because unless you've seen a personalized analysis designed for you, then you're not. It's not quite that way. So I'm back to Tom and Karen because Tom and Karen took our Riskalyze test and they scored a test of a number of a 35, 0 to 100, 100 being the most risky. They scored a 35. Guess what? We put their portfolio in our tool. They were at a 99 risk level. 99. They have all of their stuff in one stock running at a 99 and they're going to retire in September. You know what? Karen's concerned. Karen said, no, we're not doing that, Tom. I don't care how great you feel about that stock. When we come back, find out some other helpful ways to protect your income in retirement, even if the market falls apart. It's all coming up next. Stick around.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. No, it's not
a joke. It's hard to... Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman around here. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. And isn't that name of our company, Protect Your Assets? That's our theme. Isn't that such a great name right now, particularly when the markets are running at all-time highs? What can you do to protect yourself? Things like Proposition 19, where they keep taxing us, trying to take more of our money. That's what they're doing. So you got to protect yourself right now. And Monday's drop shows you how quickly markets can move when one of the four pillars gets impacted some way. So the Delta variant was one of the reasons last week that the market dropped over 700 points. And we all knew it at some point. Humpty Dumpty was going to fall off the wall. And now we're going to help pick up the pieces. So if you missed any part of today's show, go back and listen to my market segment. That's where in about 5 minutes, I give you a breakdown of what just happened, what I expect to happen, and where some really good ideas are. Gave you a few in there. Go to pyaradio.com to find that information. Now, last segment, I was talking about diversifying your portfolio to really lower your overall risk when markets start to drop precipitously and stay there for a while. And so you've got to think about some alternatives that exist right now that you may not be aware of, or maybe you never even heard of these, that protect your money when the broader markets drop. So I'm going to ask you to think about this. What if you created a pension for yourself? Because one way to reduce your market risk for your overall portfolio is to peel a piece of it off and create a pension. In other words, a stream of income that comes to you no matter what's going on in the marketplace. It's agnostic to it. It doesn't matter. That exists. You can do that. That's what your company does when they set up your pension. And so some people use what's called, in fact, your company did, they bought what's called a single premium immediate annuity to do that. There's also something available right now that's relatively short term. It's called a MIGA. And a MIGA pays more than your short term fixed income alternatives right now. So I would take a look at that. And so by taking a position, maybe you're all in one stock, or maybe you think it's diversified, but it's really not. By taking a piece of that portfolio, dropping into something that can create a stream of income that's backed by the claims paying ability of a particular insurance company. So it's insured. That can help you pay your bills when things drop. And even if it's proactive, even if it's going for a few years, this is a way to essentially bulletproof your cash flow. even when the market's doing what it's going to do. Another approach I like is using buckets, or I'll say purpose-based allocation. This is simple. And this lets you assign, say, a purpose or an objective to each bucket of money that you have. You can allocate a specific amount of your portfolio into, say, a growth bucket that you can leave for 15, 20 years. You can take another portion of your money and put it into what I'll call an income bucket, where no matter what happens, it's still going to throw off a certain amount of income. And you can allocate a portion of your money into something that's liquid. So if you need cash, you don't have to sell those things to pay some expenses that come up out of nowhere. Well, they'll happen to all of us. New roof, water heater breaks, tenants vandalize your property. I mean, it goes on and on, right? So by assigning which portion of your wealth should be allocated to its individual purpose can allow you to weather through these longer periods of time when you don't want to touch or sell off your assets. Really important to be prepared for that. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers helping us out this morning, Malcolm, Felicia, Brett, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show with David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.